Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome in. John, Lance, and Dell now for the next 2.5 hours. Raheel joins us at 9. Eric Layden in studio with us. He is an actor from the city of Houston, went to Kincaid High School, and he's hanging out with us before Daryl Morey gets here on the show. He is coming in to talk about his new play. We got a busy morning, all kinds of great stuff to do. Welcome in, Eric. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Eric's also the co-host of the Off Script podcast. That's the one that I started whenever I was off radio, and we were doing that. And Eric, Chris Solis, the language is a little more saltier than radio, so people are initially jarred.
Right.
It's initially jarring, but you get to say what you really want to say. And this happened to be the time that the Astros were, we started it when I was like, oh my God, the Astros are starting to tailspin. Oh my God, they got to do something before trade deadline. Oh my God, they didn't even do anything at trade deadline. Hey, they're making a little run. You got to do something. Oh my gosh, we're having a hurricane. Oh my God, we're in the middle of a hurricane. Eric was like his family. He was down here for the hurricane, actually. What great timing. You were down here for a hurricane. Congratulations.
I help people. I had a premonition it was going to happen. That's I came in.
Just to lend your acting skills to the during the hurricane?
Listen, humor is a healer
so
of all.
You're a comedian. You're a comedic actor.
He does stand up. He did stand up comedy.
Yeah, so I do some juggling. And
nice. Yeah. Well, that's always useful in a hurricane.
Yes. Sure. I was just on the back of little pontoons juggling with the clown nose on. Just healing through humor.
Just bringing some joy to people's lives.
Eric, we actually, we went all the way up until, and we would do a weekly podcast, and then like, wow, the Astros just got Justin Verlander. Wow, there's now Carlos Correa's back. Wow, the Astros are having a great series against the Red Sox. Holy, the Astros right now this is actually after we did one, John, after the Astros won the first two and then lost three in New York and everyone thought it was over. And that's what brought up, Eric just said, if I'm being honest, they're probably doomed, the Astros, because he said, I didn't watch the first two games because he was in the middle of filming, I think six. Mm-hmm. And then he said, but I did watch the last three, and he goes, and they lost all three. He goes, and now I'm headed, bad news, guys, I'm headed back to Houston. I'm actually going to be there. I'm like, what the bleep are you doing? Right. If you know you're the jinx, what are you doing?
He goes,
well, I got to go to the game. I said, yeah, but you're jinxing. He goes, well, you want me to wear a blindfold there? I said, yeah. Actually, if you care about the team, he brought a blindfold to the game. And he, on Twitter, said, in the fifth inning, said, that's it, I'm putting the blindfold on, because they're not winning, they weren't getting anything. He puts the blindfold on. How many runs do they go for? You're wearing a blindfold. Jose Cruz Jr. is, like, taking a picture of him. He's sitting right next to him, like, what? This guy's wearing a blindfold.
Now Cruz loves it. Cruz is like, bring the blindfold to opening day. Let's do this.
Are you going opening day?
No, I'm not going to make it opening day.
Oh, damn it.
I know.
If you're watching on TV, just bring the blindfold.
He wore it the next game, game seven. He brought the blindfold, put it on.
Happened?
They got runs.
And what happened?
They got runs.
Win.
Yeah, they won.
That's right. So you're the one who brought a championship. Not only do you juggle, but you brought a championship to the city of Houston.
Yeah, I do what I can.
That's all.
I do what I can. I just, I'm just one man.
And you just made a bunch of money for children.
And I just,
that's
the first
right.
shot.
Did you call back?
I did in my head. Class. Yeah.
Free throw at the Rockets game.
I mean, and really, Johnny, it kissed it. I mean, it really was.
It was full board, bam.
It kissed it. I had a buddy, my buddy texted me. He said they should auction the backboard off for charity, though, as hard as you hit it.
It was like those guys who get in a roll on Papa Shot, and they're just smashing off the backboard. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
You know, I didn't take into account the adrenaline.
Yeah,
you know, I that kicked in a little bit, I think, there.
Yeah, but you made it.
Was Art Acevedo there too? The police chief, captain, was he there? Police chief?
Oh, I think he shot it the day before.
Oh, he did the day before. Right. Okay,
you know who was there? Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, Kamara was
there. Kamara was there.
Tillman. Yeah.
Sitting there next to Tillman.
Because you could pick him out because there weren't many people that were sitting there. That was it was interesting. The start of the second half. Literally, no one was in the arena. No
it takes
fans.
A little while to
get
back.
No. It was unbelievable. Now, see, this home stretch could not be more. You were there, obviously. You went to the game. That was such an ass whooping that it wasn't even. There was nothing interesting. And there's really. And New Orleans was the same way. It's not a. It's a really good thing because you don't have to worry about it. But James Harden, his points per game are going down because they don't even need him. What did he have? 12 assists in the first half.
Last night.
Yeah, right.
In three quarters,
he only had 5 points in the first half with 12 assists.
Yeah,
I mean, is he going to win? He's going to lose the MVP because of such a now
that's
kicking ass.
And that's what you're worried about,
right?
A triple double.
Triple double's going to lose the MVP.
Yeah,
he's got it. Not only does he have it locked in, but Golden State. Wow, Steph Curry
down.
Steph Curry with was it an MCL?
Yeah.
So he's got an MRI set for today, I believe.
It's a sprain, grade 2.
Okay, so he must have had it yesterday.
I guess so.
So Steve Kerr is already saying, yeah, he's probably not going to play the first round.
No, he's not.
Any way he's going to play the first round. I mean,
but that, do they need him?
This thing, honestly, probably not in the first round. You know, you never know, but probably not based on.
Well, it's not only him though. It's KD. It's Clay. It's Draymond. They're all hurt.
This is the year to get the Warriors.
Screw them.
If you're going to get them, this is when you get them.
And who put that out on Twitter this weekend? That and you told them EAD.
Clayton just said, you know what people are going to say nationally. He said they're going to wear out the asterisk button because of because of Steph Curry or the Warriors being hurt. I said they can all EAD.
EAD.
For all I care.
Yeah. Which is
the Rockets win, the Rockets win. I don't care about anything else. And right now the Houston Rockets have a 5.5 game lead. Now they won both games. They now hit the Magic 60 mark, first time ever in franchise history. 60 wins. And John, you remember when we were saying when it was 34-14 and we were like, this team is 20 games over 500. This team's almost 50 games over 500 now.
Well, and you, I will give you credit. At the Christmas party, you thought that they could. I thought, come on, dude, they cannot possibly keep up this first. What they're doing in this first half is just, and it's never, they've never done it before. So let's slow down. They're going to go on
losing
streak.
They got hotter.
They went on the 5-game losing streak. And ever since, I mean, if not for that 5-game losing streak, holy crap. This team is a single-digit loser this season and is competing with the all-time great teams in the Bulls and the Warriors. They literally...
That's crazy.
That is crazy. It is crazy what this team is doing.
Three of those losses came when Harden was out.
Yeah, right.
Which, he's pretty durable.
Well, I think this team only has, if I'm correct, only three losses when Harden, Paul, and Capella are all in.
I don't even know if they have that. Are you sure it's two?
I'm pretty sure it's two.
I think it's Paul. Two. It's Paul and James together have three losses.
Three.
When you throw Capella in, it's
two losses.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Yardbarker, and here's the headline: the Rockets might be the best team ever.
Okay.
And they said, "Let's slow down." There was all kinds of things. Blah 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 blah. But, I mean, when Mike D'Antoni's talking about this is the best scorer ever, when you're looking at the best record, the best that they've been, I mean, they're going to be at least a 65-win team, at least. So it's not that far-fetched that they're way behind. Now, 65, I think, ranks 18th all-time. 65 wins ranks 18th all-time in an 82-game season. There were... shorter seasons, whatever the case may, or no, winning percentage wise, it wouldn't be as good as other teams, but that was in a shorter season. So 65 ranks 18th all time, which doesn't put them in the best category ever. This is certainly, and this is even arguable. I don't know. Is this the best Rockets team ever?
Well, we got to see. They're 33-3 in their last 36.
Right. But as far as, okay, let's look at the, the 93-94 team that started. They started
that
off.
Didn't have much. I didn't think that that had Mario. I didn't think the bench was that good. Now you added. No, Clyde was a second year.
Yeah.
So Mad Max was kind of, you know, we romanticize those teams, but here's the deal. Mad Max was a very streaky shooter. Kenny was solid. Sam really made the point guard position a strength, I think. Robert Horry gave you very little during the regular season. I mean, he was a defensive guy, but he wasn't an offensive guy at all. And then he didn't really come into his own until the next year.
Right.
Otis Thorpe was rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Dream was the best in the league. So you had Mario Elie. I think you had Elie off the bench that year. Yeah. It wasn't a super deep team.
No.
I'd say this Rocket team is.
Is this even a conversation you can have right now? I mean, in all honesty, well, until they wear a ring or raise a chip. I mean, are we really? I'm just talking about somebody coming into Houston right now, looking from the outside. This is a team that, as a Rockets fan,
right.
If I'm a Rockets fan, I'm still very nervous about this team.
Roster
your
composition.
Forget roster. Your okay. Three biggest components on this team all have monkeys. Okay, CP3 never been to a final.
No.
Harden never been to a final. Well, Harden's been to a finals as a six man.
Right.
It won it. Okay. We've seen what happened last year, and D'Antoni's never been to the finals. So the three biggest components on this team have never been to the finals. So I'm just saying, if you're a fan of Houston sports, right now you're coming off an Astros win. All of a sudden, you're sitting here going, all right, this city can win some championships. You know, we got the best team in basketball, no doubt. It's the best team in the league, no doubt. But your three biggest components have monkeys on their back. You still got some Houstonian in those courts.
No.
So
I agree.
Before we talk about best team ever,
but
the team was there with two rings.
Right, I get it, and I don't believe that the league is as good. There are great players, but I've made this argument plenty. Is that I don't think the teams are nearly as good. You look at the team that was out on the floor last night. Oh my God, is that terrible?
Garbage.
I mean, and I think that's happened in the Nets and the Kings and it's up Orlando. It's up and down and up and down. How many bad teams are really? The decent teams. Teams are not that good.
Here's the big difference, though. This Rockets team pretty much smashes. If it's a bad team, they're going to smash you most of the time. Most of the time, they smash bad teams. You look at their scoring differential, it's enormous. They play defense.
Yeah.
They score. They can score in a variety of ways. And they're not completely relying upon James at all. I mean, I think this does have potential to be the best Rocket team that we've seen. Now, you know, the kid in me doesn't think that anyone will ever be better than Dream in a Rockets uniform. But that may not be accurate, because as much as, you know, as much as James has his little isms that bother me a little bit, he is a phenomenal, phenomenal player.
Yeah.
And this is the way where the game's played now. The game's played on the perimeter with guys making plays on the perimeter. It's not a big man's league. You could see that yesterday with Duke in basketball, where they weren't going down low to their very best player because the game's not really played there anymore.
No, they're built to drive and dish, right? Corner threes.
Right.
I mean, that's their game. You know, I mean, and if you're taking a 2-point jump shot, we're not happy.
Oh no, Daryl, you're fired.
You're fired.
So, but, I mean, they had a layup last night.
Unless it's
just a PJ in the corner.
Now,
I'm like, that was a layup.
Different rules for Chris Paul. Chris Paul is allowed to shoot the mid range. He's the one guy because he's. Well, he doesn't miss
deadly.
It much.
No, he's deadly. All right, we're just getting started. 713-780-3776. Aaron Kaladin is hanging out with us in studio right here. Daryl Morey is going to join us to talk about his play, which is coming up here in the city of Houston.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
This has to be.
Is it as good as Les Mis?
This has to be because he saw Hamilton. It's got to be. You know, he's been involved in the musical scene in Houston. Like, his kids have gone to hits. Our old friend Barry and David Stagg, who've listened to the shows forever. Barry was used to be in some musicals he did. So Daryl's really into it. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Doesn't his daughter go to USC film school?
No. She chose to go to NYU, but that's all right. I talked to him about it the other night.
Trash school.
No, I like it. This is like NPR. We're just talking arts.
No,
love it.
NYU isn't really trash school.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's right.
No, it's good.
It's really good. It's okay. Why don't you talk about the Rockets for a change?
Well, let me tell you something. The Houston Rockets right now give you a chance to lock in. I mean, look. maybe you don't like the best record ever in the history of Houston basketball. Maybe that's not for you. If it's not for you, you're probably not going to be interested in getting season tickets for the next three seasons at one price. You lock in on the price today, it stays that price next year and the year after. 3 years, the same price. If you've ever gotten season tickets to anything, you know that that's an incredible rarity. And yet the Rockets are giving you that opportunity to be a VIP and get club-level seats with a locked-in price for 3 years. Now, here's the kicker. It also is going to give you VIP priority access to playoff tickets this year. So if you want to get in on the action, maybe you haven't gone to many games this year, and you say, man, I really want in, now's your chance to jump on. Jump into a three-year VIP season package, and you are going to get priority access to the playoff games this year, no matter how deep they go. Rockets.com is your website. Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK.
ESPN 97.5.
Don't you open up that window. All right. Should we just come back? That was an interesting rejoiner.
It wasn't a rejoin. Our computers decided in the middle, we're just not going to be functional. So that's what that
means. I can tell you this, John. I know from personal experience.
That's our first technical difficulty ever here at the station.
No, I can tell you this. Computers locking up, it transcends single stations.
No matter
where you go, for whatever reasons, computers that involve running radio stations.
Right. They really do.
The oldest, most terrible thing ever.
Does your computer ever lock up? No.
My computer I take it back. I get the spinning ball of death on the Mac.
Oh, you do?
I think that's because the kids are always playing these dumb games. Like, they were just playing games. In the meantime, it's just Trojan viruses. Adware is just piling into my computer at home.
I let JT use my iPad once, and then there was all porn on it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Lance thinks it's games.
Yeah.
Well, Lance is like, no, it's games.
No, it's not.
Well,
maybe it's LimeWire.
When I called him on it, he goes, well, this is embarrassing. So anyway, yeah, he was at Kincaid at the time, as a matter of fact. That's what you people do.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this weekend and what happened. First of all, Lance has three of the four Final Four teams that he bet on before the tournament even started. Lance, you are omniscient.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that, guys.
Your premonition. Basketball knowledge.
I did a lot of studying, a lot of handicapping in this, and I'm like, man, I got to find the good value picks, and I was able to do it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Is that how it went down?
Well,
or did at some point you go, Del, what do you think?
What teams do you like, Del?
Is that how it happened?
How did it go?
Or my scenario is the way it happened.
Del, I need to find three.
I need to find three winners.
Why are you going to his dad?
Don't be my dad.
Del literally looked at this. He goes, and he went Rain Man. Yeah, Michigan, definitely a good team. And then Villanova, favorite. I still like Villanova. What about Duke? No, definitely not Duke. He goes, and then Kansas. So he had Kansas. Villanova, 2-1 seeds, let the record reflect. And then Michigan.
Oh, well, they still got to get through. And, by the way, the other ones, not so much.
Three of the final four teams.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
Why didn't you know Loyola Chicago? You suck.
I had Miami. My team.
That is true.
I would have picked them.
But how about Sister Jean giving you winners on Friday?
Oh, my God.
That's all she did was picking winners.
That's what she does. Yep. I mean, Sister Jean.
Sister Jean on the show, Eric. Yeah. She was just picking winners the other day. She actually has a handicapping service.
She also now has a Nike idea, I heard. She's got the Sister Jeans.
Yeah, she's got socks.
I'm serious.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, it's all happening. She's got her shoe.
She's got.
Yeah, she can't put it on, and she, but she got her shoe.
Well, Jay Billis, who is the player police. Oh, really? Sister Jean can have all of this stuff, and they're making a sock for her now, and the players can't get anything?
Oh, is Jay Billis really doing that?
Yeah.
Jay, lighten up. Jay. We get it. The players are already making $50,000 to $100,000 a year. We already know what they're getting paid, Jay.
So are we giving Loyola Chicago any chance against Michigan?
Absolutely.
You are?
Why would I not? They're beating everybody.
I know, but Michigan's putting it together now. And after they went through the Big Ten, I don't know. I'm. You know what? This is where George Mason and VCU and all those teams. This is where
Michigan just has not. The Aggies are one thing. I thought they were good last game. I think Loyola Chicago is a damn good team who plays well together. They're a classic old school mid-major team. What the mid-majors used to look like. Like when Gonzaga made their run, Butler made their run. They've got a couple of good bigs. They got a veteran backcourt. And Richardson just shot the piss out of the ball the other day.
But this is where they wake up and they go, holy crap, we're Loyola Chicago.
Well,
we forgot.
I like them. I like them to be Michigan.
Yeah. You do?
I give them a shot. What's the odds on,
I like
John?
Them to be Michigan. I think there's a team that, if you look at all their games too, everybody, they got a different guy every night that's scoring, right? They got a different guy that's the knight every night. I mean, I don't think this guy, you know, you get one or two of those guys that get tight. Somebody else is stepping up. I like this team.
I like the way they play now. It's a Princeton kind of, you know, they got a lot of backdoor cuts. They got a lot of layups.
John, they're a 5-point dog the same as Kansas is to Villanova. Who do you think has a better chance, Loyola Chicago or Kansas?
Yeah, those are 2-1s. I think Kansas has a better chance, if you want to know the truth.
Kansas look good.
Yeah. I think Kansas just beat Duke. I mean, that's different than beating Kansas State. Now, I know they took care of the business, but don't get me wrong. I love the story. It's great. And, you know, Sarah Spain is there. Holy crap. You know, because everything Chicago, Sarah Spain is in the middle of.
Really? Is that?
She's a Chicago girl.
Did she go Loyola Chicago?
The only reason she's on, she was a big Cub girl. She was, you know, reporting and, you know, she'll throw some dims and dems and does and over there at you.
Especially when there's a Chicago team.
Yeah.
But don't forget, they've also won a national title. We're not talking about somebody that doesn't have history on their side. Right.
No. Everybody goes there. Everybody remembers the 1963 team.
Yes. That was a hell of a team.
Yeah. No. Everybody goes, yeah, well, so they got the tradition.
They got tradition. They got banners.
You know, and they've
got rings. I'm sorry, I can't hear you with this ring in my ear. Sister Jean was there like, what? I was middle-aged when we were winning titles.
Did you see the picture of her?
Did
you see the picture of her when?
She looked the same. She looked the same.
She does. She looks a lot
today that she was in 63.
Yeah. That's 55 years ago. She was still old. I mean, honestly, every 55 years or so, Loyola will rear its head.
She's 100, right?
She's 98.
Okay.
Yeah. But you heard her the other day.
Well, yeah. She was on our show.
And in the 1918 tournament, she looked smoking. Yeah. I mean, she looked real good.
1918.
Yeah, she was looking tight.
She was around in 1920. Okay,
when the flappers were.
Broadway really ain't quite the same.
She was 13 during the Depression. Holy crap!
I know.
So there's just a guy holding a bucket and they're shooting grapefruits into it.
Get the ball up the court. Get the ball up the court.
What, Sister Jean?
Anyway, Sister Jean will be visiting us this week to give us more winners, hopefully this weekend.
I would assume.
So that happened. Bob McNair happened, too, this weekend.
Oh, Bob. Did you see Bob speaking again? I thought he was done forever. I thought he was mute button forever, and I was wrong. He just can't stop.
Can Bob? Wow.
Can't stop, won't stop.
So Bob McNair is like, oh, he was about Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Panthers. Oh, come on. He was just kidding. Sometimes can't take a joke. Oh, God.
That's not exactly how
That's
he said
not
it.
Exactly what he said, but pretty much more or less. Come on, people.
Look, we know, Bob, you have a right to your opinion. You have a right to think it, say it, and all that stuff. It's just at this point, we know what it is. There's just really no reason, I don't think, to just keep. Like to keep going, I don't think. We know. We get it.
Some of the comments could have been made jokingly. I'm sure he didn't mean to offend anybody. Yeah, except Bob, just like nowadays. Now, the inmates running the prison was a mixed metaphor and just stupid. He's back at it, though. Here is the quote from the owner of the New York Jets, Christopher Johnson. He says, I can't speak to other people, how other people run their business, but I just think that trying to forcibly get the players to shut up is a fantastically bad idea. Bob McNair, we're going to deal with it in such a way, I think that people will understand that we want everybody to respect our country, respect our flag, and our playing fields, that's not the place for political statements. It's just, I would have thought that after the first time, Bob McNair would realize, let me not be in the middle of this. Yeah. Let me not say
anything. No comment. I figured he'd be no comment. But you see what he actually said? You only said part of what he said. He said, our playing field is not the place for political statements and not the place for religious statements. He threw that one in there.
Almost
to balance it, which makes me say, are you saying that Tim Tebow should not say, or any player should not say, all glory to God in post-game interviews? And, hey, I got to give, you know, the glory. Is that what he's saying? Because does that count in a post-game interview?
Or shouldn't kneel after and pray after a touchdown or
I
whatever?
I guess that's what he
was
means.
Was there was it political and then like a long ellipses where it's like somewhere in his brain he was like, and religious.
Or fashion.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're just throwing it all in
there. Right. Socks.
I mean, I think he's just gotten to a place where, you know, you hit like a certain, it's different for everybody and we all know the older generation, but you hit a certain threshold where you just don't care.
Yeah.
Like I was in Home Depot the other day and there was this old man in front of me in line.
Yeah.
And he just farted. I mean, there was just no, he didn't look around. He didn't apologize. He didn't care.
He's at that. Yeah.
And he was like, he's probably 80, 81. Yeah, but he's like, you know what? I'm only 3 inches from him. You know, like, no, just total disregard for anybody else. You know what I mean? I'm literally 3 inches from him and he just blasted me. Okay? And I mean, we're just in customer service and you're already pissed at Home Depot and service. I mean, there's nothing good can come out of that. And, you know.
Well, he had just added to it. Well, but you're right. I think it's 80. No, I really think it is 80. We've talked about this before that you just go, I don't give a bleep.
Yeah. But see, the Home Depot guy doesn't have to answer questions. McNair does.
Well, see, McNair's in a bad spot. In this day and age, if you're an owner, it used to be you could get away with being an 80-year-old guy who doesn't, like, you'll just fart in line. But you can't be fart in line guy if you run a major professional sports franchise in 2018.
No.
You can't just fart in line.
And
you gotta like watch what you say.
Yeah, you can't fart racial slurs either. Like that's like a double negative.
No farting about inmates.
No, it's just a double negative. You can't
so
do it.
So if he farts at you and then says, take that. You know, bad thing.
Yes, yes. It's not cool. I mean, there was a part of me that was like, that's kind of badass. I mean, like, it was kind of cool what he did. There was another part of me that was like, my wife sent me to Home Depot to return a cracked planter for $10. Like, what am I even doing here? Like, it was as if the God said, you're an idiot for going to Home Depot. Now I'm sending somebody just to fart on you. You know, it was just like I was questioning life at that point. I was like, what am I doing? It's $9.89.
That's what, you know what?
Farted
the people at Home Depot were even looking at you like, come on.
Well, yeah, because I get to the front, I smell terrible. I'm a mess. I look like pig piss. Garbage around me.
That's what the poors do. They bring stuff back that was $10.
I get pushed back for more than that. My wife's like, go take these light bulbs back. Like,
what?
Can we just throw them in the trash? No. You're just going to throw $3.73 in the trash? Like,
yeah. I got to go wait in line behind fart guy?
I know.
No, I'm going to go to Costco in January with my Christmas tree, though.
Yeah.
Like, you that was the greatest thing ever.
That guy
was classic.
That's ballsy.
That's awesome.
That dude must have been 80.
Hey, what if Home Depot actually hires old people just to sit there and fart on you just to dissuade you from ever going back to
possible.
So, yes. You know what? Service.
I'm never going back here. I'm just going to take the L on whatever I bought.
I'm not returning anything.
Hey, guys, I want to give you a chance to do something very, very special, and that is go to Augusta and see Tiger compete where he is the favorite.
What?
Yep. And then we're talking about jet flights and VIP hospitality. If you got it like that, then I got a company that can get you there. Here's the options right now at the website, jets4golfers.com. You can go just take a look at it. Just go to the website, jets4golfers.com. Same day jet travel charter service, private round trip jet charter from Houston to Augusta, premium flight catering and dining options, luxury ground transportation to and from your hotel. They've got a premium flight catering and dining private round trip, luxury ground transportation to and from a hotel where they're going to give you premium hotel accommodations and 2-day and 4-day passes. They've got that per person price as well. Or if you got your travel there and you just need master's passes, they've got master's passes as well, which includes Club Magnolia VIP hospitality starting at 8 a.m. And of course, those 2 or 4-day passes. Make sure that you stop by this website if you and your buddies want a chance to go see history potentially, as Tiger hasn't won one since 2008. Go to jets4golfers.com. A very special chance for you to have a very special travel package from One Concierge. Jets for the number 4 golfers.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, God. ESPN's got Bob McNair with his British hat on. Good Lord. He looks like he's in a pub. And
it's just, season 4 of Peaky Blinders.
Yes, do you think he's got a razor blade in that thing?
I don't know.
Oh God. Anyway, stop. Can we stop?
Hey, your boy from Ozark, who you always get all fussy about.
Tyler?
No. You get all fussy from. Yeah, actually, Mark Menchaca is who you're talking about. The actor who played the role with the guy who
in the motel room
who ends up in the hotel. That's
one
Eric's
of my
boy.
Best friends.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well,
he makes you nervous.
That scene made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, made you a little uncomfortable.
A couple of times, actually. And you made me uncomfortable during the break. You said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, that Tiger wouldn't make the cut. That's really discouraging for you to say something. You were at the Rocco Media. Okay, stop with the Molly Percocet.
Well,
Tiger's off of it.
Are you sure?
I thought Dell was having another computer issue back
there.
No,
that's
just throwing some Molly Percocet on
me. Every time we talk about Tiger, he plays Molly Percocet.
Hey, listen, rightfully so. I'm telling you right now, I think there's a good chance Tiger misses the cut. I've seen sports long enough to know what this buildup's going to be. And
it is getting to be a little bit of a buildup.
And it's everybody's ready for it. I also, selfishly, I was there for Rocco Mediate, Tiger Woods, 18-hole playoff. I kind of want that to remain in my top 5. I want that to be the last major he ever won.
He was there.
No.
So
it'll be, if he wins, it'll be like Jack in 86.
Yes.
It will be.
One of the greatest sporting event ever in the history of the world, Jack 86 at Augusta. And this may top it.
It will top it. The world will explode. Twitter will break down.
Yes.
If he wins, though, I think he could do could beat the record.
Let me ask you this.
Because then all of a sudden it changes everything.
John and I were both at, all three of us were at one of the greatest sporting events of all time, Texas versus USC.
That's in my top 5, too.
Yeah. I was going to ask.
It wasn't the outcome that I wanted, but it was in my
top
5.
I was going to ask because you and I have talked about this, but he went to USC. But he's from here. John and I, not only did that change our entire narrative, to me, it changed sports talk radio forever, and maybe for the worse.
Yeah.
Because we did, this is no lie, Eric, this is not an exaggeration. John and I did 4-hour show then, and it was literally after that game, it was really fun. We were talking about, man, you know, we were talking about Reggie Bush. Now Vince Young, I don't know, the Texans have to consider Vince Young because they had the first pick. So it was fun talking about Reggie or Vince. Mattress Mac said, if the Texans don't pick Vince, I'll never spend money again. They're done with me. and so, but then here's what happened. It kept going on like that, 4 hours of Vince Young forever. We were fatigued by the time it got to the draft. And then when they drafted Mario Williams, all the Reggies and all the Vinces were all mad. Mm-hmm. So we had nonstop 4 hours of calls. Vince won the Rookie of the Year, so we got one full year of Vincers.
And ran it in for 42 yards out
against
the Texans in overtime.
And then they won a division a second year, another year of Vincers calling in. And a lot of people checked out of sports talk radio because they got tired of one guy, one topic.
It was well over a year of Vince.
And now CBS Sports considers Vince the biggest bust in BCS history.
And that's so stupid. How is Vince the biggest bust when he was Rookie of the Year? He got him to the playoffs.
What about Matt Lyon?
Quarterback.
What about Jamarcus?
Was he?
Yeah, Jamarcus Russell.
God. The number one overall pick.
They had him at number 2.
Yeah, but he's number 1.
Wait. Did he get to the wasn't it Matt Mock who won the title?
Who?
You said BCS?
No, in the BCS era.
a BCS era.
Oh, I thought you meant championship.
No, in a year.
What about,
you didn't have to play in a game, though.
What about Johnny Manziel? I mean, he did less.
That was 15th pick. What, it was 22nd pick.
Yeah, but I mean, he did less on an NFL field than Vince Young.
Not than Jamarcus Russell.
Well, not than Jamarcus Russell.
No one did less.
But he can throw 50 yards from his ass.
Right. So that's all time. That's right.
He did win that.
All right. So Daryl's coming in now.
Yeah. We're going to take a break because Daryl should be here.
Daryl Morey is going to be joining us here to talk about his musical, Small Ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming your way. And we're going to talk to him. He's the producer.
Daryl's so ballsy. He just goes, yeah, you guys don't like analytics, Charles? Guess what we're going to do? I'm going to do a musical called Small Ball.
How's that?
This is the worst musical I've ever seen. It's a terrible.
Every song sucks.
All the songs are terrible. Everything's from 30 feet.
So Daryl's coming up. So we're going to do that next right here on ESPN 97.5. Daryl Morey in studio. And we'll talk to him about Small Ball.
Why don't you
and we'll
talk about golf? Why don't you talk about if people want to get their Tiger on this weekend?
You know, I got the Rogue over at my Rogue driver over at Edwin Watts. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest driver I've ever owned. I got the Spider Putter over there. I bought shoes. I bought my Nike shoes over there. I'm telling you, I go, it's right here. It's around the corner, Yorktown and Westheimer. And Edwin Watts is awesome. Now, you're looking for any kind of clothing. They've got everything. All the brands, Under Armour and Nike and Tommy Bahama. They got everything. They got everything over there. So you got a great clothing selection. You've got used clubs that you can buy there. So you're looking for a discount, you get that as well. They've got every type of club that you could possibly want, and they got it at discount prices. They've got the hitting bays where you can go there and see where the ball is going. You can see the trajectory. They're going to get the right lie and loft for you. They're going to get the right shaft for you. They're going to do it every single time. They've got the professionals there. I mean, I even worked with the Callaway rep to figure out exactly which shaft and what lie angle I should use for my driver. That's how good it was. You will find that too. Yorktown and Westheimer, you're looking for any golf item. It's Edwin Watts. Edwin Watts, tell him I sent you.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 7:45, ESPN 97.5. Daryl Morey is going to be joining us, Tamri Cooper as well, to talk about the big play, Small Ball, coming your way here in the city of Houston, produced by Daryl Morey, by one Daryl Morey.
Who's really, really into musical theater, acting. His kids have been involved in a long time with hits and probably a lot of other groups as well. So Tamri joins us right now. She is the co-director of Small Ball. And first of all, welcome into the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So this is interesting for us because we know Daryl Morey is, you know, the guy who's the king of NBA analytics, and he's got his, you know, we know him in a certain way. I've known a little bit about the other side of Daryl, but I didn't know it to this degree that he was, I don't know when this plan hatched to create a musical. And when did you get the call? How did you get involved with Daryl Morey?
Well, actually, my co-director, Jason Nadler, is a massive Rockets fan. Mm-hmm. He goes by Batman Jones on clutchfans.net, by the way.
Oh, he's a clutch fan.
Yeah. And he was talking with another fan, and they had just recently seen something Daryl had posted about if he couldn't do what he does now, what would he do? And he said theater. And this other fan said, hey, you should reach out to him. And I think Jason paid like $5 to post something on his Facebook page because you can't just post on Daryl's page, I guess. But it turned into this major theater bromance between the two of them. And it was just so extraordinary to find this guy who we all sort of worshipped as the king of analytics and basketball, that he was also so wildly knowledgeable of theater and particularly musical theater. So he started coming to see our plays with our company, the Catastrophic Theater, and he was actually going to be in one, but he had to drop out because the playoffs took him away. And then he joined our board, and we've all become friends. And it was kind of unique, too, because our theater company has a larger percentage, I think, of actors who love the Rockets. You don't normally find that necessarily with all of the musical theater people in Houston. Mm-hmm. But we have a long history of this. I did a show back in, I'm going to date myself, probably like 2000 here, where I had a magic sit and spin that could allow me to travel through time. And I, at first, was using it for my own selfish gain, like I was hooking up with Duran Duran, all of them on the tour bus. And then my history teacher was like, Tamri, did you learn nothing? You should use this device for good. And I gathered all of the world's greatest villains. So I had Hitler and Pol Pot and Stalin and Genghis Khan and the Utah Jazz.
Stockton and Malone.
Yeah, I had my actors just flopping everywhere and crying, you know. So that was great. And it was a joke that I think probably only about 15% of at the time my musical
that
artists got.
That is a great joke, though. The greatest villains of all time in the jazz.
Yeah, but they loved it. The ones that got it were like, yes. So we defeated them and changed their ways.
That is awesome. So this was specifically written. Was it written already or was it specifically written for Daryl?
This was specifically written. He approached us and said, you know, I think I would really like to develop a musical. And we talked about different plot lines. And we were sort of known as the, a little bit more of the alternative theater in town. We do lesser produced things, more experimental stuff. And so we have a playwright that we've worked with now. We've produced, I think, 5 or 6 of his plays named Mikkel Maher. And Daryl was a fan too. And we suggested Mikkel to write the book for the musical.
Mikkel Maher, that was a minor league player for the Astros back in the day, wasn't it?
Meyer, that was our spring break. That was our spring training name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Mikkel Maher. Yeah.
Daryl's joining us now here on Producer Extraordinaire here on ESPN 97.5. Welcome in, Daryl. How are you?
Good. It's a reuniting of our fantasy football league here.
That is.
Eric here.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we were in a fantasy football league, me and Eric and Bun B and Daryl. It was an eclectic group.
Yeah, it really was.
When Daryl, do you remember when you were in our fantasy auction league that one time and you tried to hoard about 9 running backs at one time?
I did try to do that.
You tried to redefine.
It wasn't my best year. But football's random. If you lose, football's random. If you win, all skill.
It's not random. And every single week, the waiver wire was lit with Daryl, with Maury Eels, like, he made 9 moves again this week. Is that even legal? It was unbelievable. True to form. Okay, so tell the truth. Did you ever go see Hamilton in New York?
Oh yeah.
So how impactful? I thought it was the. Oh, you saw it at Public Theater?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in Tech.
Oh, how'd you do that?
I told you he's Mr. Musical.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So Tech is the very initial.
That's before
stages.
They opened.
Yeah. And Hamilton was at Public Theater. It took off and then it hit Broadway.
Yeah.
How impactful was that? I've had people say, and I went and saw it, and I was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. How impactful was that for you doing what you're doing right now with Small Ball?
Not as impactful as Small Ball. That's what I'll say. No, it was it was incredible. No, it's an all-time great show.
Did it push you to want to do something like that?
Yeah, but you've been...
I've been involved for a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just... I mean, Lynn's first show in the Heights... was incredible. So that's true. I was expecting Hamilton to be.
So where is Small Ball going to play and the dates?
We're at The Match here in Houston, Midtown Arts and Theater Center, and it opens April 6th and runs through May 13th, I believe.
May 13th, yeah. Smallballmusical.com.
Smallballmusical.com. April 6th.
A bunch of days are sold out already, and... probably need to get them this week if you're gonna make it in.
A lot of the dates are sold out already. Yeah. That is awesome for a producer, isn't it, Daryl?
That's sort of my job. I'm not really good at any of this stuff, so I'm just trying to sell it. So
what have you had to do? I mean, what has your job been?
Other than trying to build a 60-win team?
Are you guys the Bobs?
Well,
what is it you do on this musical?
I wouldn't say I was working, John.
You've been actually involved in a lot of the creative process going through. He hasn't just been the check writer. You know? He really has been. We met together and we had a bake off for the composer. And then
I learned a new term, dramaturg. I'd never heard of this before.
What does that mean?
Apparently, Eric knows. He's still here shaking his head. I think it's just the title they give you so you don't feel bad. You're just writing checks, baby.
Who called you the dramaturg?
Mitchell did. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a fake term. Yeah. It's meant to be real special.
He gave you a little hat, too, you know, just so I'd feel like
that was sweet.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That is nice.
No, apparently, it's like if you're an expert, you know. Yeah, I'm going to use it at the Rockets now for like interns.
Nice.
So they feel like they got something.
It's usually someone who does a lot of the research on the subtext in a play, or like if
oh, you that sounds like a real
where
thing.
The characters came. So Daryl actually did provide a lot of information. He took people to post game conferences and just so we could get a real feel for things.
Okay,
Mikkel and I, because the whole show happens in post game press conferences, so you'll love this. So Mikkel studied Jeff Van Gundy press conferences, which are all timers, yes. As we know, you know, all the, and he came to many press conferences, and he would call me weekly just to like say, hey, what about this? How does this happen? And he interwove a lot of that into the show. And I don't know if Tamara got to talk about the show, really what it's about, but it's a little hard to describe, but also really fun when you do.
Well, what is it about?
Yeah. So it's about it's an undiscovered a country that was just discovered on the global map, and they're frustrated they're not part of, you know, they want to put themselves onto the global stage, so they start a FIBA basketball team. Mm-hmm. And they know they don't know anything about basketball, so they go out and they get Michael Jordan and they bring him to the island to start their team. But then what you find out is that it's not the Michael Jordan. It's just some guy named Michael Jordan.
It's not even Michael B. Jordan.
It's not even Michael B. Jordan. He's a journeyman Michael Jordan who's been playing in like the Pizza League and places
which
like
is
that.
A real thing. Domino's Iceland Pizza, yeah. Pizza
that
League.
That is actually
a Pizza League?
Yeah, this is the kind of things we do. This is the dramaturg comes
dramaturg.
In.
Yeah, I got you.
And it turns out that the island is actually Lilliput being rediscovered. So every player on the team is 6 inches tall. And then there's a love story, obviously, with the king and coach, who's Phil Jackson,
but not that Phil Jackson.
It is actually Phil Jackson. It's his taken name, the Lilliputian taken name, because you can't say the names of the Lilliputians. It's unpronounceable for the outside world, basically. So they all have to take on names like Pippin and Phil Jackson and things like that. So. And basically, you know, it's a musical comedy. Obviously, it sounds ridiculous because it is. And, but it's super funny, but it also it's really, really touching.
So. Del, let's play Sex with Giants right now. There's a song called Sex with Giants that I think we need to hear. And who, by the way, before we start that up, who wrote the – I sent it to your email, Del. Who wrote the music? Where's the music come from?
Yeah, Anthony Barilla and Merrill Van Dyke. The fun thing about the music is Mikkel wrote the play, and then we held a draft process. We held a draft process to pick the people who wrote the music. We commissioned like five people, and then we held we did a full. You would have written scouting reports on them, Lance. It would have been pretty
a draft
cool.
process.
Yeah, we ran a whole draft process.
I called it a bake off. So.
Yeah,
is that how it usually happens?
Yes, actually.
I don't think it ever happens this way. Usually, the author usually just picks his buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it works.
Friend picking. Exactly. I would
skip a little bit into the song.
Maybe. All right, skip a little into the song.
Is there filth in it?
It probably just takes a while to get going, yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. Here, skip a little bit into it. Here is...
maybe 2 minutes in.
From the musical Small Ball that is going to be opening up April 6th. Here is Sex with Giants.
Kind of lark, not saying I'm against the alliance, just introducing a question mark.
Pippin, you...
Do we want to have sex with giants? That's what this is all about, not math or statistical science.
Now just a...
Calm down, Mrs. H. Hear me out. There are adventures you don't go on. Some water from dark wells you leave undrawn. Long nights of the soul that know no dawn. The puzzling duckling that's a crow and not a swan. There are mysteries you don't
Sex with Giants.
The love story between the daughter of the king, who's the best player on the team, Lily, and then Michael Jordan, the import player. So one's obviously a normal-sized human, and one's a six-inch-tall female. So that song is by Pippin singing that song, and it's basically both the direct song, which is like, this is crazy, we brought these outside world people here, and now your daughter's with this giant human. We don't even understand how that could even possibly work. But it's also a metaphor for, like, we had this great community, and now do we really want to break out? And, you know, anyone who really is part of a creative process, do you want to, like, bring it out to the world, basically? So,
well,
it's really deep, actually.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
The Shape of Water was Sex with Amphibians, won an Oscar. So, I mean, Sex with Giants, you could win, what is it, a Tony?
Tony.
You guys are going to win a Tony.
It'll take a little time to get there. You got to get to the process to get to the big stage.
After the run in Houston, we've pretty much set up to be in Chicago next.
Did you really? Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Well,
awesome.
With Pippen and Jackson and Jordan.
Yeah, right.
Got to go to Chicago.
Well, the writer is from Chicago, so you might see some influences there.
You certainly might.
With Jeff Van Gundy press conferences. So, yeah.
Has it been more than you thought, or because you've been a long time, or is it about what you thought it would be?
No, way, way, way more.
Really?
I just got very lucky to be part of Catastrophic, and you know, Jason Nadler and Tamara Cooper, who's here, the directors, just both the play was actually done in Chicago without the music, just to test, you know, the jokes and things like that, and it was unbelievable. And then now the music layered onto it. I'm biased, but I think it's incredible. Star-studded opening. We got Michael Lewis coming.
Moneyball.
We
got Bill James coming. We got Mike D'Antoni, Coach of the Year again, I think, this year.
Is JVG going to be there?
You know, he's going to have to get a ticket. I don't know if he can get one.
He might a little something.
So current coaches can get there. Just former coaches. It's not. Rick Adelman out.
Seeing as how it was based on him, you think you might give him a ticket. I don't know.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I don't know.
I'm dating myself, but like I was really hoping that Clyde Drexler was going to be there because I had like a really big crush on him back in the day. I had a life-size cardboard cutout of him. Back when he played for the Blazers, my parents lived in Portland. And when we made the trade, I demanded that they fold him up and mail him to me. And so I'd had him in my house. And I would dress him up for parties. Like,
nice.
So when you were about 6 inches tall, you loved the life-size Clyde Drexler?
See, I'm really relating to this play, Daryl.
That's how it works.
All right, let's take one here. Daryl Morey, Tamara Cooper in studio with us here talking small ball on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I want to talk about Bill Advisor. Just got an email, as a matter of fact, from Mark, who said, and I quote, started getting big savings this past week thanks to Bill Advisor. Thanks, LZ, on the referral. Well, I mean, look. BillAdvisor.com. It's a super, super easy move for you. Go to the website or text bills to 313131. I can promise you this, though. At BillAdvisor, they are making sure that you save a minimum of $150 on your first three bills. If not, they are going to give you $150 and a gift card on top of it. Let me just give you a little hint, though. In many cases, you'll save more than $150 on your very first bill, and that is for the year. They do a great job of renegotiating your bills for home and auto insurance, home security, cell phone, home phone, internet, all the bundled packages. They get in there and get you new customer rates instead of the same old customer rates you've been receiving. That's why they saved me over $2,000 in 1 year. This year, they saved me $700 in year two, and that was just with home and auto insurance. I'm telling you right now, the savings are enormous. Go to BillAdvisor.com or just text bills to 313131.
ESPN 97.5.